Amen. Amen. Our message today is David's ups and downs. That's the title of our message today. You know, you can be a great man or woman of God, and you still can have your ups and your downs, your good times, your bad times, your praising times, and your times of sin, because of this old nature that's not eradicated in any of us. But we thank God that he portrays for us the narrative of these stories, that we would see God in all of it and get a better understanding of how God operates. You know, I still stand amazed when God says, your thoughts are not my thoughts, and your ways are not my ways. Understand that my ways and my thoughts are greater thoughts, greater ways than yours. I stand amazed because as long as you live, there's going to be always something happening around you, to you, or even through you, to other people. And a lot of times, there are some people think you got God pegged. I know how he going to operate. I know how he going to operate because I've seen it before. Yeah, but God will turn a corner on you. God will turn a corner on you fast, quick, and in a hurry. And I like it because if we would digest the word of God that God have told us in other places throughout the scriptures, then a lot of time it will calm our spirit that his ways are not my ways. Because a lot of times we are set in our ways. Even as God's children, we get set in our ways. And I tell you, be careful with that. Be very careful about being set in your ways because you've been serving God for a mighty long time or whatever. Be very careful. Seek the Lord. Seek his face. Seek his wisdom and all of those things because a lot of times we don't know what God is doing. And while we don't know what God is doing, because a lot of times God is doing things and he won't tell you what he's doing. So anyone tell you they know, they're just lying because he did not reveal it to anybody. That's the kind of God that we serve. But it all comes back to a trust me, trust me, trust me, trust me. If you don't understand it, trust me anyhow. And realize that I'm working things out for your good. But I want to talk about King David today. Glory be unto God for letting us in on David's ups and downs. The great king sometimes brought glory to God. Sometimes he brought shame. But God never left David or forsook him. You know, sometimes even when you find yourself in a bad way, you got to understand that God is still there. In 1 Samuel 17 to 31, for you who is taking notes, if anyone's taking in the notes, I'm just going to give you some of the narratives that what went on, and you can go back and look at it later. But I'll give you the address if you want them. David killed the big man, the giant, Goliath. Y'all remember that? You can find that in 1 Samuel 17, 31 through 51. When he killed him, he took his head. Now, all that was done for the glory of God. You got to see that. David understood how God protected him with the bear and the lion. You know the story? And this Philistine going to come here and try to shame the armies of God. And David took that thing personal, and you knew what happened. So when David took his head, that was all done for the glory of God. But the same David in 2 Samuel 11, 1 through 17 and 26 and 27, David killed the little man, Uriah, the Hittite, and took his wife. For his lust, and he shamed God. Just because one day you can do something to bring glory to God, to honor God, to praise God, the same person at another time in life can do something to bring shame to God. But God never left David. And that's a blessing. And sometimes we can be familiar with passages and the Word of God and things of that sort. But the way the Word of God is constructed, you can't exhaust nothing. Not a jot or a tittle of God's Word. You always can go back and glean more and more and more of the Word of God that it'll help us as we go about. Now, some of us have been through all kinds of things. Some may be going through some things. But you need to realize that everything with the Word, the people of God that we do should be for the glory of God. No matter how it look or no matter how you feel, no matter how you have to scream sometime or whatever, that's okay. God is not going anywhere. And a lot of times we want to rush God, and you're not going to rush him neither. Because everything with God dealing with us, there's a process. It's, you know, so we are in a process. And a lot of times, you and I want to get to the end of that process so we can get that complete product. And yet, a lot of times, we think we're at the end of the process, and God say, you just begin. I'm going to linger in this process. But whatever God does, you can call out to him. He amazed me this morning, man. I tell you, I said, I'm not going to get upset, God. I'm going to play it cool. I'm going to sit back right at the table with my Bible and just read. And I'm going to pray. I'm going to talk to you and whatever like that. And that's what I did. I said, no, God, this is your thing. Man, the next thing I know, my wife came around, said, I'm ready. I said, look here, look at the Lord. I said, man, we're going to move, do what I got to do. But I said, no, I'm just praying, God. It's in your hand this morning. You know what I want to do and what you got for me to do, but that's up to you. So we don't know what stage of the process of life that we're in, but God does. Now, we know the story of how David took Uriah's wife, how he schemed to have him murdered, and all those things that took place, it brought shame to God. But I want to pick up in chapter 12, when God sent Nathan to David. And he used a parable of the rich man and the poor man. The rich man had plenty of herds and sheep, and the poor man only had one little sheep, and that sheep was like a pet. He raised him, and he laid in his bosom and all of that. And then the story goes on to say that there's a visitor came to the rich man, and he wanted to prepare a meal for him, but he wouldn't take from his many sheep. He took that one and only one from the poor man. And we pick it up in verse 5. So David's anger was greatly aroused against the man. The rich man with many sheep took that poor man, one and only sheep, and cooked it to feed the visitor. And he said to Nathan, as the Lord lives, the man who has done this shall surely die, and he shall restore fourfold for the lamb, because he did this thing. Watch this now. And because he had no pity. Isn't it amazing that we can get indignant and angry over somebody else sinning and overlook our own? And sometimes the very thing that we are angry about that somebody else do, it was the very thing we have done in secret. And we got the audacity to be angry, indignant, because somebody else done it. And David said he didn't have no pity. Man, he was, see, sometimes we don't realize, because remember God said his ways, his thoughts are not ours. Sometimes in the way we treat folk, we're exposing ourselves and don't even know it. Sometimes we are telling on ourselves and God is exposing us, and you think because it was done in secret, don't nobody know. But the right one know. The only one that it really counts knows. Because whether we know it or not, all sin is against God. All sin is against God. And he got, man, God is amazing how he do things. Set him up, Danny. But let's read on. Let's read on. Man, he's hiding in 5 and 6 and say he's going to pay him back and he's going to die. Because, see, he should have had pity. Okay. Now he should have had pity. But, see, the lamb was Bathsheba, an illustration of Bathsheba. The poor man was Uriah. And the rich man was David. But God just decided to hit him with a parable. But then, here's the kicker in verse 7. Then Nathan said to David, "You are the man. Thus says the Lord God of Israel." Now, man, this is what I want to look at, this part to come behind this. He said, man, there was no real person here. I wasn't talking about no real rich man or a poor man with one lamb. I was talking about you, but I did it in a parable. See, sometimes God will be exposing you and you don't even realize it until he make it known this thing is about you. And sometimes you could even be in your indignation about something somebody else done or their family done and whatever like this. And all of a sudden, don't nobody know it but you, it come back to you or what they people done, and they daughter, they girl, or they son, or so-and-so, he shouldn't be, he back in jail again, he out of jail, or they stealing again. He said, wait a minute, you over doing the same thing. And you just don't tell nobody. You did the same thing. You don't tell nobody. And you, where's your pity? David said, because he didn't have no pity. Oh, my Lord. See, sometimes, Danny, just because you got it made, huh? You're a good guy. That ain't everybody fight. God blessing you. We got to have some pity and some concerns about somebody else. You see, when you're a pastor, you got all types in the congregation. And you got to love them all. Work with them where they are. Tell them the truth. Tell them right. But you got to work with them. Let them know there is some help. There is some healing. There is some medicine. There is some balm. There is, it's there for us. All right? But understand, oh, my God. It's just so much here. But I want to look at this next part, y'all. Because as I was reading this, even though how familiar these stories and things are, actually, God always gives you something, and he began to roll back the curtains of my own memory. Huh? I'm just excited. You see, you may not be, but I am. Remember, I had to get it first. Nathan said that said to David, you are the man, thus says the Lord God of Israel. Now, he says, I walk with me now. See, the prophet Nathan is the mouthpiece of God. See, you couldn't be a true prophet unless you were the mouthpiece. You said what God said. If you didn't, you were the false prophet. But this man was not a false prophet. This is what God was saying through him. I anointed you king over Israel. God is saying that you have, you Mr. Big Stuff, you all that and a bag of chips, you got a little money in the bank now, you got a little prestige, you got some education, but let me straighten you up, son or daughter. I anointed you. You've been preaching for a pastor for over 30 years, Riggs. Been preaching close to 40 as an associate pastor plus pastor. Hey, but you realize, son, I anointed you. I chose you. I picked you. It's a privilege. It's an honor. But if you look at it any other way, like it's a right. He's a David. Let me tell you something. You ought to know, but sometimes when you've been in a position, been doing your thing for so long, you think God is not aware. If you're beautiful, I gave you the beauty. If you got a good job, I gave it to you. If you're intelligent, I gave you your brain. And when we dare not use the abilities, the gifts of God to honor God, he's watching. He's concerned. Because see, he could have dealt and said a whole lot of stuff. But the things that he did say, let us take heed to that. He said, I anointed you king. I sent the man of God, Samuel, down to Jesse's house. And him being being my servant, but being a man, he wanted to pick one of Jesse's other son. And I said, nah, that ain't the one. That ain't the one. See, because God says, I have already picked him out. I'm just sending you to anoint him. I'm just sending you to touch him. To let him know that God got use. Is there anybody in here? You don't know it, but God already got some use for you. But when you open up your heart to God, when you open up your ears to the word of God and let God use you, or will you just say, well, I'm saved and I'm floating along. I don't want to do nothing. I don't want to serve. I don't want to do nothing. I mean, folks serve me, baby. Who do you think you are? Have you slipped? Do you realize that we serve a holy, almighty God? And when he touch us with his salvation, it is purpose filled. God's people, God's purpose, and God's plan. He said, David, I want to start with the blessings on. Yeah. You the man that broke my heart, that sinned against me, and yet you the apple of my eye. Yet you're a man after my own heart. See, you can have your ups that you after my own heart. You love yourself some God. You love yourself some God. But that old nature, there's a thin line. You still can sin. But I want you to know something. Man, I said, whoa, God. I said, God, this is good here. He says, I anointed you king over Israel. Now, And he said again, watch this, I delivered you from the hand of Saul. See, let me tell you something. God may not speak to us this way, but when you roll back the curtains of your memories and find yourself back in time, captive, shackled, somewhere in life, sometime in life, things won't go on that well for you. You look back and see yourself in a jam. See yourself going down for the third time in your situation. Whether it be health, finances, whatever it may be. God said, it was me who delivered you. You may came out, but didn't you? It was me who opened up the gates. When Peter was in jail, it was me that opened it up that he could walk out. They had a saint pray. They got in touch with me, but I had to answer. The answer had to come from me. I had to decide what I was going to do. And how many know God decides to make his moves all by himself? Because I'm telling you something, I'm glad about that. Because some of you, when God want to move to bless me, you're over here praying, God, curse them. God, do this to them. Don't let them have that. Give it to me. But I'm glad all by himself. He said, that thinking ain't my thinking. David, I anointed you. Not only that, when you was in trouble, which Saul wanted to kill you, take your life, or you may say some, did some clever things in the cave and all that stuff, but it was me. Oh, my God. What caves have we been in life and you didn't know God was in there with you? How many things don't nobody know about but you and God? And yet, it was God who delivered you. You bought us. I'm telling you, I'm sitting here reading this. And a lot of times when you're reading something that's familiar, you read it, because you may have a point back here you want to get to. You know, that you may have in your mind. Whoa. God said, look here. Look at this. See, I interject this part before I even got to the punishment part. I'm going to inject how good. See, God is interjecting how good he's been to us. And we let him down. He wanted on record. Tell him it was me who delivered you. No, I just got lucky that day. And you know what? Man, stop that. Girl, stop that. If it hadn't been for God, if you didn't have them but gods in your life, where would you be? Where would I be? But you and me, Lottie and Dottie, had the but gods in our life. If it had not been for God, being raised on Skid Row and the stuff I saw as a child that had no business seeing, death all around me, folk not caring, should have been dead. Left at the bootlegger house, scored with hot collards. Grandma coming to get me. Don't tell me about my deliverance. You don't know, you weren't there, but God was there. He said, no. Y'all fools can't kill this boy. You don't know who he is, but I do. I got to save him so he can get saved. Because y'all fool would kill him. He ain't but a baby. He said, I anointed you. I handpicked you. Whoa. Don't get so high and mighty now that you can start wandering off doing your own thing now because you've been doing it so long. Humble yourself. under the mighty hand of God. Anybody with me in the house today? That's King David. God said, I got to talk to you. I know you got a little bit of money. I know you're successful. Yeah, you're so successful you don't even serve me. You don't serve me because you don't need me. Oh, you need me, but you don't know you don't need me. So therefore, you don't serve me or serve me any kind of way you want to. Because I'm not but junk to you no way. Huh? Mm-mm. No. You tip the church and give more tips to the waitress. And don't care where you give God anything. I'm telling you, God has feelings. And many times throughout scriptures, especially for his people, he's trying to save the unsaved. But there is work to be done. We got to occupy till he come. See, that's why he say, Rick, I don't care how you heard. I know that you heard. Preach anyhow. I know you'd rather be doing something else, but I got you where I want you. Now you got to believe that. You may not believe it, but you better believe it. Because if you let me, if you obey me, I use you better than I ever used you before. Okay. Lord have mercy. I anointed you king of Israel, and I delivered you from the hand of Saul. Didn't stop there. I gave you. Ah, boy, this is something here I don't fully understand, but that's God. His ways ain't mine. I gave you your master's house and your master's wives into your keeping and gave you the house of Israel and Judah. God said, I gave you a united kingdom. I gave you the United Kingdom. It's united. After Solomon, his son, it was divided. But I gave you a united kingdom. See, now God is saying now, let me tell you what I've done for you. See, a lot of things you got, you think you did it. And I pull myself up by my own bootstraps. You know what I mean? I'm successful and this and that. I spent time in the military. I spent time on a good job and whatever. And I did this. What was God? Was God in any of it? I'm talking about saved folk talking like that. Was God in any of that? Well, God helped those that helped themselves. Wait a minute. I was in a position I couldn't help myself. How could I help myself as a baby being scalded with hot greens? Potlucker, how can I help myself? I needed someone to deliver me, someone to rescue me, and God sent my grandmama. He'll roll back that curtain on you if you let him. Too many things we don't credit God with, therefore God don't get no credit. Wait, let me say that again. A lot of things in our lives, we don't credit God with it. So therefore, God don't get no credit. See, if I don't credit you with it, I won't give you the credit. Oh, my God. God, why are you saying all of this? Why don't you just get to what you're going to do? Why you got to say what you have done? See. God said, I want to tell you what I've done, how I bless you. See, I want it on record. Your mishaps, your failures, your sin won't because that didn't bless you. Oh, my God. Oh, God, you're humbling me now. I'm going to start saying, oh, God, you tell me what you did. I can't mess with that. You know, pastor say what he did. I can mess with that. husband or wife say, well, they did, my neighbor, I can mess with that. And I can tell you, you ain't done nothing for me, but I can't sass you. I can't even breathe without you letting me. Your oxygen, your air. I know I don't treat you right. Don't you know we treat some folk better than we treat God? We don't know, none of us know, and a lot of people I know is going away from you. Quick, fast, and a hurry. My sister-in-law was telling me that my friend Jack Gaines, I think he, I don't know if he's sick or what, but I understand that she told me that he had said that he asked to have his funeral at Calvary. And I was, I don't know what all that's about. I guess I got to find out. I'm not saying he's dying or nothing like that, but I'm saying that's what she told me, that he's preparing, I guess, if something happened, because they have a small building. And so he's already preparing if can he have permission to have his funeral. Oh, my Lord. Man. Love the Lord. Love the Lord. Missionary. I'm going to tell you this group something. And it's this group because this is the group that's here. See, next Sunday, it'd be another group. In other words, what I mean by that, always somebody absent and somebody added each time. Never the same. Never the same. But I'm going to tell you something. If you are hearing the Lord speak to your heart, get your house in order. See, there's some things only you can get in order. People can wish for you. They can try to make you. That mess don't mean a hill of beans. But when God break your heart and say, I did this for you. I did this for you. Now you get sassy enough, get grown enough. I know old people say you get grown. Is that one of the things they said? I know I'm dating myself, but I got somebody in here a little older than me too now. You can help me with my little sayings, whether I got it right or not. You take your little bony finger. God, you ain't done nothing for me. By the way, I'm going to get in my car. I'm going to work. I'm going on vacation. I'm going to drive here. I'm going to drive there. You better say, if God will, if God allows. That's what you're about to say. See, it's time out for those who name the Lord as their Savior to pay no attention to the preached word of God. Have no, not listen to obey, not a thing. It's time out for that because God is calling folk home. And you see right here, he said, I, Charmaine. Now I want to talk about me right now, not you, David, what I've done for you. You've done something against me. But I'm talking about what I've done for you. And I had to take that personal as just reading it. I know the principal person here is David. But God, this word is speaking to me. What you've done for Ricks. Oh, God, help me to tighten up. Whoa, the curtain is pulled back. See, a lot of things that we are doing, we think we are doing it alone. As Christians, man, come and give him honor. Come and worship him. If you got to come by yourself, don't wait on the group. Just come. Come because there's some things he done for you and he done for the group, but it's an individual thing. If you predicate on doing what somebody else wants you to do, well, they become your God. They are God in your eyes. Because God don't move you to work without them. Put no one ahead of him. No one above him. None greater than him. The only true and wise God. Besides him, there is no other. Let me move on here a little bit. I delivered you. I anointed you. I gave you the king's house, the king's wives. I'm the one who gave you the house of Israel and Judah. I gave you a united kingdom. And watch this. God said, I'm not through. He said, and if that had been too little, if you had let me know, Danny, I didn't give you enough. Oh, if you catch me in the blessing business in your life, hey, and you know, you may feel that I didn't give you enough. Watch this. That I gave you too little, I also would have given you much more. He said, let me tell you what God was saying here. God is saying, I would have wiped out all excuses, David. All the wives of Saul, all the concubines, all that stuff that you had. Your lust, you lust for something somebody else had. You know, sometimes we're that way. We're so busy looking at what somebody else got, we don't pay no attention to our own. Sometimes you don't know how blessed you are with who you have because you're busy looking at somebody else. You haven't taken the time to see, even now, a message like this, you need to go back home and in your meditation and just think about what could God say I done for you? How many things that you credit somebody else or yourself, your strength, your education, you being who's who, your sorority, your fraternity, whatever, I got connection. Let me tell you something, baby, ain't no better connection than with Jesus. Boy, he's talking. Sister Irma, God is talking. That's his mouthpiece. True prophet. I know you're a great lady, Sister Irma. Teaching ability. Love the Lord. Love your grandchildren. Love your children. Quiet spirit. Knowledgeable. I gave it to you. So when you're serving me, and I want you to keep serving me, when the pastor could no longer come on Wednesday, you took over the class, doing a great job. Step right in. Didn't say, well, I don't come to church. I don't think I need to do nothing. Lord, I just got to keep all my life. I'm living 100 years old. God, keep doing. I ain't going to do nothing for you. Nothing. Don't make him say what I done for you. See, sometimes I just need a word from him. You know, sometimes I just need to straighten out. Huh? Sister Ward, I just need to straighten out. But God, give me a word. I'm listening. Huh? Samuel, God, when you come back this time, I'm going to be listening. Eli, tell the boy to listen. It's God speaking to him. See, sometimes God will speak to you, but you ain't listening. There's some folk in here, you ain't bit more paying me no more mind than men in the moon. And you still say. You still say. If that had been too little, I also would have given you much more. I would have gave you more to your harem of women. I would have gave you more, David. But it wouldn't have been nobody's wife. See, because when I gave you Saul wives, I didn't mess with you with how you were dealing with them. You don't see nothing in the scripture. See that he say, okay, David, you got too many here and you don't need but one and all that. But then he said, I gave them to you. Well, you know that man lust and you gave him all the women, he's laying with them. Come on, y'all. He said, I let you have that so you wouldn't take somebody else's. I mean, this is the word, Charmaine. Y'all want me to preach this? Close this and think of some stuff. Oh, yeah. Y'all looking good. Oh, he preached today. know I'm telling the truth. You sat there and act dignified. You know I'm telling the truth. And you know, he's that teacher. I'm on a preacher. See, other words, the preacher don't have to. Your preacher don't have to teach. No, I like how he is. He can phrase words, and how he can. That's how he do things. And I get mesmerized right into hell, not knowing nothing God have said. See, you can take these scriptures. When I gave you these addresses, you can write them down, go home, and get in depth. Preaching is never intended to be in depth, but it's a shot in the arm. This shouldn't be the only thing that hold you all week long. You got to get in the word for yourself. But God is so good. Watch this now. Then he said, I gave, Sister Patricia, I gave. Guess what? He gave pastors and teachers. The same God I gave after my heart didn't only give you the harem, David. But when you look at pastor, God gave. Holy Ghost gave. Oh, wow. Wow. Anything that God give me, and he talking like that, he exposing himself to let me know he got feelings. That he got feelings, Sister Duncan. David, I got feelings. Watch this. Now I know I've been good to you. I've been gooder than good. And if you had told me there was something else that you wanted, I'd have gave you a little bit more. I wouldn't have gave you that man's wife. I wouldn't let you kill him. I wouldn't have gave you his death, but I would have gave you much more. That's what the word of God said. I'm gonna move on. Let me go on now. Anybody taking notes in here? Okay, if I got one person, that's okay. All right, let me move on. He says his wives and house of Judah, and if that had not been too little, oh God. Man, David was, you were awful good to him. I also would have given you much more. But here it is, here's the question. Why? I got a question. It prompts a question to me. And to the audience, why you don't treat God better? Is it that he have given you too little in your life? Is there something missing that you want him to give you and you feel that he didn't give you? Because he asked the question, why? Answer me, David. Why have you despised the commandment of the Lord? Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Why do you despise the commandment of the Lord? To do evil in his sight. Why you keep doing your thing right before the Lord? And why you don't love me? What have I done to you? I showed you what I've done for you. Now I want to know, what did I do against you to make you hate me? See, let me tell you something. Shouldn't nobody make you come to church? Because you ain't coming for them. You coming because you love the Lord. What'll happen when he asks us, why? Why you treat me the way you treat me? You know what we do sometimes? We don't put it on the Lord. We put it on some people. But you know, she didn't speak to me. She stopped me. Are they just there? It should never be about them. I'm sorry. It's about your relationship with the Lord. My relationship. Oh, that begs for another question. If it's about your relationship with the Lord, how is your relationship with the Lord? Are you in fellowship with the Lord? How long, if you were out of fellowship, how long have you been faking it till you make it out of fellowship with the Lord? So therefore, the word of God don't penetrate. Say, I gave you pastors. Gave them to you. He tell the pastor to feed the flock. Pastor, I didn't give you just so you can read this at your desk, study it, take your notes. I got a Bible that I write in. You know, I write my own little commentary, right? I said, I got all these Bibles, so I'm going to start just right on the Bible. I got one that's different from this one. But I because I lose it. So I write right there. I write right at the bottom, the white page. I said, I just write things in it that God give me as I'm studying a passage or whatever like that. But I'm telling y'all, when God give you things, he asks you, and then you disobey him, he asks you, why? Why do you despise me? Oh, well, God, let me tell you something. It ain't about you, it's about people. You taking this thing too personal. I don't mess with the church because I know who in the church. So that's why I don't like to hear the pastor preach, because he opened up that Bible and it's kind of hard for me to get him, because he's going to go back and show me what does say the Lord. He need to close that book and just say what he think. Then I can get him. Why do you hate me? Why do you despise me? Is there anybody else that can save your life? Is there anybody else that's sustaining your life? Don't you know that God is sustaining you and me? When Hezekiah wanted some more time, who did he ask? Huh? How did he know? How did he know that God hold longevity in his hand? How did he know that? Why did he go to everybody else for some more time? Sister Pat, why did he know that it was the Lord that could add to his life or shorten his life? He said, why? Why do you? See, that's a question where you may not want to hear me keep saying it. You may not want to answer it, but the word of God is out there now and it's not going to return void. The question to all of us, why do you treat God the way you do? He want to know, why do you despise? I don't despise him. I just don't see no need in church or that word of God. Matter of fact, I don't even believe there is no God. Okay, I ain't never seen the wind neither. But you believe it when them hurricanes come. Okay. So I'm going to shorten the rest of it and finish this one up here, and I may just. Okay. Are y'all back with me? Okay. Okay, Rick, stop meddling and go ahead on and finish this thing up. It got good to you now. He says, and if it had been too little, I'm stuck on that, I also would have given you much more. Why have you despised the commandments of the Lord to do evil in his sight? You have killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword. You have taken his wife to be your wife and have killed him with the sword of the people of Ammon. My God. Yeah. You told your general to put him on the heat of the battle with Ammon and then pull back on him and let Ammon kill him. He says, now, therefore, the sword shall never depart from your house, because you have despised me. Say what you want. You don't like me. You despise me. Your actions tell the story of your heart. He says that you despise me and have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to your wife. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will raise up adversity against you from your own house, and I will take your wives before your eyes and give them to your neighbor, and he shall lie with your wives in the sight of this son. For you did it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel, before the son. So David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. I didn't know I had hurt him that bad. I didn't know that he felt that way about what I done that deeply. So God is, see, God right now is being a little transparent. He said, I want you to know, David, you deeply hurt me. You know, Dan, it's like one of your family, son. You may then say, son, you didn't mean to do or whatever that happened, or a little thing happened between one of your brothers and sisters. But then you find out, you know, and you say, you ain't paying more attention to it. They come on back. Then they begin to sit down and say, any other family member could have said this to me, and it wouldn't have scarred me that way. Sue could have said it, wouldn't have paid up. But when you said it, knowing my brother Danny, you scarred me, man. You hurt me. I couldn't shake that thing. I told the rest of the siblings. They said, you didn't do that when I said it. You ain't Danny. But David, a man after God's heart, God was revealing how scarred, how hurt he was. Because I made you king. I made you leader. With great responsibility comes great consequences of sin. Because you hurt a lot of people when you're in leadership. You hurt more folk when you're in leadership. I know a preacher, a great preacher, he's dead and gone now, but there's some people still, because he was a great preacher, they love him, and some of them walked away from the Lord, walked away from the church, and despising other people. When some died and then they want to be a member of a church, but they love him. But he fell in sin with one of his members. And they, it was some of them in my wife's family, messed up, was growing in the Lord. Man, he had a ministry going on. But see what happened? Make sure you keep your eyes on Jesus. All right? I try to preach Jesus, God. I try to point you to him because I'm frail. I can fall. Don't want to, but I'm saying if I fall, you keep getting up. Don't you pull away from the Lord, because I'm not your God by no means. I'm a man of like passion, just like anybody else. But he went on and said that I have. But then Nathan said to David, the Lord also has put away your sin. You shall not die. However, because by this deed you have given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord. See, a lot of time as Christians, we sin just as much or more than those who are saved. Then they say, I got an occasion. Ain't no way I'm going to get saved. And you sin more than I do. You do it and still tell me, come on, go to church with me. You out of your mind. Ain't no way I'm going to church with you. You don't believe nothing the man's saying. You're not trying to live a godly life. You're not even trying. When I don't even want to sin, and I'm a sinner, I'm not even born again. Places you go, I don't want to go with you. Then they say, you're going, and you ain't you supposed to be saved. God will forgive me. I just do my thing. Okay, let me move on. But you saw God's heart. He showed us his heart, y'all. He showed us his heart. How many know God has feelings? Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Huh? Don't hurt him. Don't hurt the Holy Ghost. He's an occasion for the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. Now he said, the child also whom is born to you shall surely die. Then Nathan departed to his house. You know, he lost the baby. He prayed, he fasted, and God took the baby back, and he cleaned himself up. And David says, you know, God took him back. He wasn't going to live. I prayed for him to live, but God decided to take him. He can't come to me, but I can go to him. Amen. And I'm not going to expound on too much. I'm just going to read Psalm 51 with this broken heart. But I wanted that you get the gist where it was coming from, So when you hit Psalms 51, and on there, I just, if you got the outline, did I give you the outline to put on the board, Steve? David's cry for forgiveness and all of that. Did I give you that? Okay. All right. All right. Okay. So you can see, I'll get a bird's eye view of, and you can make your own outline of any passage that you read, but to give you the gist of what was going on here. But now that you got that, a little bit of that background, and you can see how he was broken, and then he had to do something about it, and how you'll see this prayer here in confession. So from the standpoint, so also sometime you and I, we sin against God, you know, you ask God to forgive you so you can stay in fellowship with the Lord. Okay, you say, well, I'm saved and God will forgive my sin. Yeah, but I can get out of fellowship with the Lord. Okay, and I want you to be in fellowship with the Lord. I know you're going through some things. I know you're hurting, but guess what? You ain't by yourself. You ain't the only one hurting in here. See, I can't tell. They don't work when we tell God, God, I'm hurting. Okay. Go preach. Didn't you hear me say, do it one more time? Okay. Now, let that go and get in there in the book. But Lord, don't I have excuse now? I didn't have no excuse before. And I got an excuse now. Oh, no. Oh, no. Got no excuse. See, keep it. Don't make me tell you I appointed you like I did David. You didn't make yourself preacher. You didn't make yourself Pastor Ricks. That won't about you, Ricks. You didn't pull yourself out of cabin. I pull you out. You ain't had no money. I gave you this land. But I gave it for a purpose. So don't come tell me about you. You privileged to have me. Anybody ever felt like that? No, I know y'all do everything right, so you never had those experiences. I'm sorry. You don't never had nothing like that because you do everything right. Am I right? Y'all do everything right. God don't have to take you to the witch shed every now and then. Huh? No, y'all good. He take me. Yeah, let me just read this. So you got the outline on there. Okay. David says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgression. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. He says, you know what? I'm crying out. I'm asking you to forgive me. And see, he says, do it on your basis of your tender kindness and mercy. See, there's something David knew about his God. He knew there was a basis for him forgiving sin. He knew God has a characteristic about him called mercy. That when I know I deserve, because I say it's me, I did it. I deserve the whipping. But because of the basis of your mercy, I need some forgiveness. Now, if you didn't have that mercy attached to you, then I had to earn all my forgiveness. I had to do right 24/7, 100% right. But God, I need mercy. But his compassion and mercy are new every day. But David knew his God. Here's another thing. Don't let everybody always tell you about God. You get to know your God. Because you may be blaming him for stuff that you had no business blaming him for. You just don't know him. Know his characteristics. And the next thing, let's look at David. David cried for forgiveness, but David cried of confession. He said, For I acknowledge, sometimes you got to say, God, yeah, I did it. I'm stopped lying. You already know I done it anyway. I done it. You saw me when nobody else did. Yeah, I'm sinning back. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. He says now, against you, you only have I sinned. First and ultimate, all of our sins against God. He says, and done this evil in your sight. You're doing your thing, and you think you may be slipping and sliding, but you're doing it in the sight of God. That you may be found just when you speak, and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. See, I'm not putting my mama down. It was just her nature, sin nature. My daddy, I'm not putting him down, God, but their nature, that Adam nature, they hit me in that Adam nature. He says, and in sin my mother brought conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward part, and in the hidden part you will make me know wisdom. So that was his cry of confession. David knew his ultimate crime was against God and his law. The next point, David's prayer of cleanness. He said, God, now, I like this, and it was the 1 John 1:9, that if we confess our sins, God will what? Huh? And what else? Yeah. See, what we don't realize, sin to the inner man is like dirt to clothes. When your clothes get dirty, you want to wash them or take them to the cleaner. Because you don't want to keep wearing that dirt. Sin defiles. So he said, God. So God said, not only will I forgive you, I'll clean you. And I like this. Y'all take this now. I may have gotten dirty, but when God forgave me and cleaned me, don't you call me dirty now. He got Peter straight with that, didn't he? When he was going to send him to Cornelius' house, that Gentile, he brought that sheep down with all those Levitical dietary things that they didn't supposed to eat. But God said, well, I clean. Now, before I clean it, you can call it dirty. But once I clean him, don't you dare. But see, we need to know these things. So when people bother us with their ignorance, and of course they want to be here, well, I love the Lord, I do nothing wrong. You're a lie. You think you're wrong now looking at me cockeyed. Man, anybody want my job? I'm serious. Tracy, you want to come up here? No, they got women preachers. You can strut like the women do. You want it, and then live this life too now. You want it? Carl, you want it? Oh, y'all free, ain't you? Free, ain't you? You say, I ain't the pastor. You saved? Then it don't do me right. That boy told me so many things. I was just joking, you know, just getting the things. But no, this ain't nothing. Don't be many teachers. There's a greater condemnation. Okay, I didn't choose this. That's why I don't readily get out of it. That's why I've been in it. I didn't put myself in it. God put myself, and He's been delivering me. See, David wasn't the only one. He's delivering me. How you think you made 30 years? I've been delivering you. You supposed to get out the first 2 years. You got stabbed in the back. Folk coming when it started church and all kind of crazy mess you went through. You're still here. And you're the kind of crazy preacher, if one of them die, want to use the church, you turn the church over, let them use it. God gave. Okay, did I finish? I'm just going to read this. And where did I stop at? Y'all help me get through.
Where I stop at? What verse? Huh? Okay, 7. Okay, let me go on 7-12. Purge me with hyssop. Okay, that was something like a reed with feathery ends that the priest would use to sprinkle blood and stuff. And I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. When God do it, he make you whiter than snow. When God clean you. He said, make me hear joy and gladness. Joy and gladness may be around me, but I'm in a stupor. When I've sinned against God, I can smile and grin with people, but my inside is torn apart, is broken. There's no joy when I know I love the Lord, but I'm not living for the Lord. There's no joy. There's no gladness. Not real. I can fake it because I'm trying to make it, but I'm faking it. But I want the real joy and gladness of a clean life serving the Lord. That the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. God, I'm living in a time of the Holy Spirit will come upon me to do great and mighty things. No doubt the Holy Spirit was upon me when I slew Goliath. I mean, the Holy Spirit was there's a pun ministry. All the walls that I won, the Holy Spirit was with me with the bear and the lion. There, Paul didn't tell me to shred because your spirit was with me. But God, don't take him off of me. We play with God so much, there's no depth to even feeling the heartbeat of God. Walk in fellowship. Walk closely with God. And God will reveal to you the things he will have you to know. Okay, 12. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. You know, a lot of times, you know, and we don't believe that the New Testament believer can lose their salvation. But you sure can lose the joy of it. That's why a lot of Christians walk around, they're walking like dead men, dead women. I mean, they got a facade. They go through the motion. But you can tell, ain't nothing with them and Jesus. Ain't nothing, and they're out of fellowship, what I mean. Not saying you're not saved, but just the out of fellowship as can be. Now it's to a point, it's so routine you're out of fellowship, it look like you don't even care. That's how bad it is getting, how long you've been there. But as David, we got to repent. Can't nobody do that for you. It's personal. Your salvation and my salvation is personal. Am I right about that? Okay. If I ain't right about it, tell me now. Okay. Isn't there a song say, my relationship? Is that a song? Okay. All right. Okay, now let's 13 and 17. We'll look at David promise. He says, look at here, Lord. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. You know what he's saying here? He says, I'm going to renew my service. See, some of us say, God, help me. Some of us, our service to the Lord need to be renewed. You have stopped serving the Lord. You need to tell him, I'm going to renew it. Huh? I'm going to renew my service. I ain't got to do nothing. I just come, everybody serve me. Where you get that from? Give me a chapter and verse. No. I'm telling you, I don't care if you're doing a little thing, you're ushering in the choir. Do something. Renew your service. Let me move on. He said, I'm going to start teaching. I'm going to start witnessing. God, I will teach transgressors your ways. I'll tell you, because I transgress. You know, I'm not putting them down, but I can let them know what I went through. And sinners shall be converted to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed. I killed that man. Huh? I did it. You know, they were following my orders. I set him up for the slaughter. Say, pull back and just let him kill him. But put him in the heat of the battle where he'll surely be slaughtered. The heat of the battle. Then pull your troops back. That's nasty. Then you talking about the rich man didn't pity. You didn't pity that man. You want to make sure that he get killed so your mess wouldn't be found out that you had his wife pregnant. Then the man was more noble than you, David. You put him, told him, go on and lay with your wife while you're on furlough. The man said, no, I can't do that. My brother's still at war. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, oh God, the God of my salvation. And my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. David said, I'm not going to, don't tell me I can't shout in here. Y'all don't know what God have done for me. I've been hiding it. I've been faking it, trying to make it. But God got a hold of me, and I confessed to him, and I knew God renewed my spirit. And I want to shout aloud. You know, sometimes there's an occasion to shout aloud. And sometimes it's just personal. Don't tell me if God heal my wife and I come down here with one leg screaming and hollering, running here, why don't he just shut up? Ain't nothing. What's that? That's Now, at that time, I don't want to get in the flesh, but you done slipped. No, you gone. Do you know? You haven't even heard what happened to me. You ain't God. There's a joy that has been restored, that was been missing. Oh, y'all about to get with him. He said, didn't I anoint? Didn't I give? Did not deliver for nothing. Ha! Every now and then, we got to go back and count our blessings. Say, God, I got some time in my life. You delivered. You anointed. Ha, ha. You gave. I don't know what they are. Trying to come back. He said, God, if you let me come back, I'll be a witness. Because I got some brothers. I need to tell them it ain't what I thought it was. See, I wouldn't have got all the gusto while I was up there. I'd have saved some for the serving of the Lord, service to the Lord, because that's all that count when you close your eyes on this side. You got to make your decision on this side where you will be on the other side when God calls your number. That's okay. I know I'm preaching. Y'all talk all the mess you want. I preach the word. You can go back and check all this out and find that it's true. But Pastor Ricks, we want you to preach my free. I do it, but I don't preach to the dead in the box, I put it that way. I'm telling y'all something. I get a little tired on this journey sometimes, but it's okay. God renew my strength. And if you're not doing my job, don't sit there and say, Pastor, you do that. No, you do it. You come and do it. Let me sit out there. Let me stir at you for 30 years. No, it's fair. Isn't that fair, Danny? You ain't fall in that trap, is you? Danny, you too smart. But I, you know, I got to. Did I get the last one? Because I got to come down. Did I get... Y'all help me now get through this. Y'all know Pastor can be long-winded. Did I finish? I stopped on 14. That's why I like the word, because y'all can direct me back. Deliver me from the guilt of, oh, that's what happened. Bloodshed, oh God, the God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. Oh Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. Some of us, God, got to open our mouth. And when he opened your mouth, show forth his praise. When he opened your mouth, don't you shut it back up, because you don't want to show forth no praise. Open your mouth and praise him. 16, for you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart. These, oh God, you will not despise. See, some of us can be so full of ourselves, and we know we're sinning, and your heart is not broken about it, and you're saved, is not broken about it to a point that you won't get it right. You're going to keep on doing it and just say, well, God, you know, and it's okay. It's not okay doing that. But he says, God, I know what you don't despise. A broken heart and a contrite spirit. You know, my heart is broken about my sin and what I've done. And God, I'm repenting. And these things, what you want. You see, because the sacrifice is for sin. And if I don't sin, sacrifice is not needed. But I do, because of my nature, I'm going to confess my sin. Do good. This is the last one right here. He said, now, you know what, Lord? When you do all this for me, do good in your good pleasure to Zion. He said, now, I'm going to pray for national restoration. I'm not, see, sometimes when you get your blessing, pray for others. You get your blessing, pray for the church. Pray for others. National, Israel. Do good in your good pleasure to Zion. Build the walls of Jerusalem. Then you shall be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then they will offer bulls on your altar. God, I tell you. David says, I want to pray for your dear people as well as myself. Be pleased to shower them with good things. Build the walls of Jerusalem. My sins have doubtless hindered the progress of your work. We will offer bulls on your altar in praise to the God who forgives sin and pardons iniquity. God bless you.